recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Mem Vav. We're ready to begin a brand new parak. So, we have finished the sugya of Mumin, both by Behema and by Adam, and we've been talking all along about the nature of a Bechor. We take for granted this is the din of the Kedusha, the Bechor is a din in mother. So all of this has been about what is considered to be Peterechem. There's a completely opposite Bechor, which is remarkable. Both of them have to do with the reproductive capabilities of the parent. The Bechor that we've been talking about until now is a vaginal Bechor, because it's specifically a din in Peterechem. So if it's not, if it's in any way, even if it's a non-vaginal delivery, so if it's a cesarean, it doesn't have, there's no condition of Bechor. The opposite is true when it comes to a Bechor in terms of Yerusha. And that is a seminal Bechor, which is called Reshit Ono, which specifically refers to his virility. However, there is a double meaning to the word Ono. On means virility, as Yaakov Avinu said, Reshit Oni, which from which we darsh, it's literally his first drop of semen. But it also is Lashon Av, as we saw by Binyamin, is Ben Oni means my sadness. That's Aninut. So it includes the idea of a child, as we're going to be medayek later, that a father cares about. So it's insufficient that it should be simply his firstborn. It has to be the firstborn that he cares for. So let's say he impregnates a woman, but she cannot carry this child. The child dies, so either it's a stillborn, even though it's completely full term, or remember in Gemara terms, anything which is less than full term cannot survive unless it's a different type of gestational period, which called a 7-month gestation, which was the common, whether it was the reality or whether it was the belief, but it was the common belief throughout the ancient world that there were two different, maybe it was, who knows. But in any event, if it's a nafil in either one of these ways, dead full term, or even a living but incapable of survival miscarriage, so then it's not considered to be reshit ono, because even though he may have managed to impregnate, but he didn't manage to produce something that he would care for. So it's both beginnings and ends. Yesh b'chor l'nachala, therefore says the Mishnah, ve'eno b'chor l'kohen. So you could, because of that, have a b'chor which would be a b'chor for the father, but which has nothing to do with the kedushas b'chor, because it's not the b'chor for a mother. Or you can have vice versa. You can have a Bechor, who is a Bechor Lekohen, is defined by the mother, but a no Bechor Lenachal is defined by the father. You also have a Bechor, obviously, that could be both, Bechor Lenachal of the Lekohen, and you could have a Bechor that is a Bechor for neither, a no Bechor Lo Lenachal of the Lo Lekohen. So let us go through the cases so that they become clear to us and thereby elucidate the principles. So, Ezeu Bechor Lenachala, Veino Bechor Lekohen. What would be considered a firstborn vis-a-vis a father and not vis-a-vis the mother, which is what it boils down to. So, first of all, someone who was Ba Achar Nefeli, someone who was born after having had a brother, but it was not a full-term brother, and that would be a Nefel, even if Yatzar Rosh Chai. Even if we're normally, we say that a child that manages to be born up to the point where its head now exits the uterus, that's considered to be born. But over here, that's not true. Over here, since it's a nafel, then even if that nafel is still alive and actually manages to be Yotzei Rosh Chai, nonetheless, the one that comes after him is considered to be a Bechor Lenachala, because that first one is not a child that the father cares about. And it doesn't look, you know, that's why I would call it a nafa. So if we're talking about, I mean, the clearest cut case is where we'd be talking about twins. And these would be, the case that Rashi is bringing up here is a very rare case, which are twins that are not really twins. They just look like twins. This does happen very rarely where you have one pregnancy that began 2 months earlier, and that one indeed is a full term, and the other one is not full term. So the one that was not full term was Motzi Rosho, and then comes out the other one. So over there, he's not mafsid the Bechorah from the next one to come out. Or even a full term, Ben Tish'ah, but it was dead. So it was never born as a living birth. So over there, in the same case, it would also not be mafsid, the other brother, from being the Bechorah Anachal. Now, obviously, it doesn't have to only be in such a case, but this is the most clear-cut indication of it. So we say, if it's reshit ono, the lashon of the Gemara later on will be mi shelibo dava alav, he made, only where he would care if it would die. In the case over here, when it comes to an nafel, it's not considered to be libo dava alav. The other cases would be where you would have hamapelet kimin behema chayav of, it should say vehamapelet, because according to Rabbi Meir, we're adding this to the cases. So if you have a type of real mutation where the father really hopes that it doesn't survive, right? So in other words, the child is like the shape of an animal. Over there, according to Rabbi Meir, it's considered to be a birth, and therefore, though it's a Bechor l'Nachala, it's not a Bechor l'Kohen. And remember that we said earlier the reason that according to Rabbi Meir, vis-a-vis the mother is considered to be a birth, is because it has similarities, enough of a similarity to Adam in terms of Ayin. That was the kasha we asked before, but I thought it's not similar. We said it depends if you're talking about the eye orbit or you're talking about the yud. The chachamim omrim, no. Achyehebo mitzurat adam. That's not considered to be even a peterecha. And therefore, the one that comes afterwards is certainly, I mean, it's obviously a bechor for the father, because this is not mishaligo dabalav, this mutation, but it's not even considered to be a human birth. And a peter rechem doesn't mean a doctor's instrument. Peter rechem means a human birth. This is some kind of mutation, and I don't know what this is, X-Men, Aliens, or what are those other, Satan Seed movies? Rosemary's Baby. No, Rosemary's Baby is not really Rosemary's Baby. All right. Hamapelet sandal, or shilya, or shvir merukam, or hayotze mechutach, their habal chreyem is a bechor l'nachala, ve'eno bechor l'kohen. Where we have a birth of something that does not have, the sandal means that there's no fully formed face on it at all, or it's a shilya. The shilya, let's assume, is the placental sac. So we talked before, the Marantz Bachlokas, we've shown him whether we're talking about the placenta itself, we're talking about the amniotic sac. But in any event, a shilya is 100% a raya that there was a vlad here, except that it was clearly nimua, because we don't see it. There's no way that you would have had the form of a placenta unless there had been something that the placenta was formed with. But something may have happened, and this was expelled. But even in its having been expelled, that's a leda. So therefore, that which came after it, certainly a Bechor l'Nachla, because nobody gives a hang about it, but it's not a Bechor l'Kohen, because what was expelled was considered to be a peterecha. Or the same thing would be true if it was a shvir mirukam, where you can see a membrane or skin-like, which is clearly beginning to turn into an embryo, but it's not a fully formed human. So that's considered to be a Bechor, but only l'Nachla. Now, Misha lo hayu lo banim. How about a male who never had children? So this is his first. But he marries a woman that was kvar yalda. She had already had children. She had given birth while she was odashivcha. She was still a shivcha, or she was still a goya. Then afterwards, the same woman goes ahead, and she's nishtachara, and she marries this guy, this Jewish guy. Or she's nidgaira, and she marries this Jewish guy. So now it turns out that the first child that she had was the child of a goya, or the child of a shivcha. So that child, nonetheless, since biologically what happens now, her new child, is not a petarechem, that child is not a bechor lekohen. So this is his first bechor lenachalah. But it is not her first, and it's Eino B'chor L'Kohen. In this latter case, actually, we have a machlok. As Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, not true. The original Vlad is not called a Petarechem, even in terms of the Kohen. Why? Because the Torah says, Kol Petarechem B'Yisrael. And therefore, we're not looking, I mean, the Lush is Petar Kol Rechem B'Nei Yisrael. We're saying it's the same as Petarechem B'Yisrael. So that means that it's no different than having a doctor's instrument open up the Rechem. A non-Jewish birth is not called a Petarechem B'Yisrael. Therefore, the clock starts ticking now, only when she was Mishtachara, or only when she was Nidgaira, and not before. So, Achi Yiftru Rechem Yisrael. That Rechem has to be opened in by the state of Yisrael. Now, in the other case, where he had children before, Misha Yulo Banim, and he marries a woman that Shelo Yalda, who had never had children, even where Nitgairan Uberet, let's say she became a Gioret when she was pregnant, or she was Nishtachara, after she was already pregnant. So in all of these cases, she and her husband both became Jewish now, after conception. So then that Vlad is a Bechor Lekohen, because it is a Peter Rechem B'Yisrael. However, it is not a Peter, it is not a Bechor Lenachala. Why? Now there's two reasons why. And there's actually Machlokas Rishonim whether it's necessary to say that the reason is that non-Jewish genes, in other words, non-Jewish semen, specifically males, are not considered to be chosher in any way. Zirmat susim zirmata. Their flow might as well be horses. This is a pasuk. It's no chashivut. That is the way that Rashi puts it. So since the Torah has been mafkir, the zera of a goy, because it's zirmat susim zirmatam, therefore we consider there to be no relationship in terms of the chashivut of reshit ono, because again, that's a seminal point. And zirmat susim zirmatam means we don't care about that. Tosa says, why in the world is Rashi even mentioning this issue, where there's a completely different problem, even if that weren't true? And the fact is that so clear that it has anything to do with the issue? Because certainly there's a din of nachal, of Yerusha, on goyim. We don't say zirmat susim zirmatam for nachala while they're goyim. So the real issue would be, they're not related, because Gershon and Gayar Kikatan Shinoladami, and therefore the father and the child are no longer viewed as related, and the biological is not important.
Even if the son converts well.
Yes, it's talking about that. She and the husband convert, and then they have their child. So he's Jewish, but his father is somebody different than the father that impregnated the mother. Even though they look the same, and the DNA is the same, but we have over here a new, completely new, unrelated person. Who's a katan shenolad, basically. But why do you come on to the idea of zirmat susim zirmatan? This is a question of whether mother and father who are mitgayer together, is the child considered to be this father's child? So we say over here, this is not considered to be his bechor, it's only her bechor. So it's a bechor lekohen, and it's not a bechor lenachala. How about a case where you have he the kohenet? She is in a room, a regular she, meaning a regular Jewish woman, not a continuation of the previous case, but a Yisraelite, in other words, a woman who would be chayev in the Bechorah, is in the same birthing room as a kohenet. And you could also have a he and a leviyah are together in the same room. Or he, v'isha shekvar yalda, a woman who is having her first child together with a woman who already had her first child. Or, now all of these cases, you'll notice, one of the children is chayiv in pidyon, and one of them is not. Now if you mix up the babies, then you're going to get into a suffix. And another case is where you have a built-in suffix, where we have a takana not to get married unless it's 3 months after you might have gotten pregnant. So if someone is married, gets divorced, her husband dies, there needs to be a 3-month break, just like by a gioret, we need to know who impregnated her, since we'll never know. If she has a child, again, going with this idea of there being 7-month gestation, or 9-month gestations, if she doesn't wait 3 months in between, we will not be able to know whether this child is a 7-month child to her new mate, or a 9-month child to her previous mate. And because of that, we have a built-in suffek. In that case, Mi shalosha talach habala shalosha chodashim v'nis'et v'yalda. So she gets married too early, has a child, and now we don't know. Eino yodoim ben tishal rishon in ben shiva l'acharon. This, in all of these cases, we definitely have a Bechor LeKohen, right? There's no question we have a Bechor LeKohen, because either in a case where the father says, I don't know where my kid is. Yeah, well, that's tough. Yeah, but the Kohen ain't going to tell me, who do you want better, your child? I don't know if this is my child. That doesn't matter. You still have a Kiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. So you'll have to pay. In the case where the guy doesn't know if he's the father, in that last case, the child will have to definitely pay. But the point is, there's Vaday HaBechor LeKohen in that case. But the moment that this kid comes along to collect his Yerusha, oh boy, in none of the above cases is this going to work. Because the Mishnah started off with 4 categories, but at least we've discussed who. Where do we have a Bechor LeNachala, who is not a Bechor LeImo? Where do we have a Bechor LeEim, who is not a Bechor LeAv? Now, the reason we're bringing Shmuel right now is because our Mishnah talked about 2 cases of Nefelim. A case where a Nefa was Yotzer Rosho Chai, where it was a premature birth, and a full-term birth where it was Yotzer Rosho Mate. In both cases, the Mishnah seems to relate to the head as being the essence of the Leda. So if the head was Yotze, then that's considered to be the measurement of the moment of birth. Remarkably, Shmuel says that's not true. Ein harosh poter ben nefelim. So let's say in a case where you would have a ben shmona chai that was motzi rosho chai, and then comes out, as we have, it seems to be the case in the Mishnah, where Ochiv came out, in that case, it's considered to be a real Bechor. So it's a, it would be a Bechor LeKohen. Because a Nefel is not considered to be a birth at all. It has to be Rosh HaVeruba. Why do I say that? It's a Shmuel Maitaima. Because the entire Makor of there being something specifically valuable about a face in terms of birth is the fact that the Torah says, Kol Asher Nishmat Ruach Hayim Be'apav, that defines the Mabul. And that means we're talking about the breath of life is in its apayim. But that's only if it's the breath of life. Kol Eched Nishmat Ruach Hayim Be'apav. That's when we consider the face to be choshev. But if it's not able to breathe the breath of life because it's a nefel, so that would mean that there's no particular value in its head either.
It's already dead.
No, this is even Rosh Hochai.
Rosh Hochai, and what, it may not be...
Even if Rosh Hochai is not considered to potter, it's not a birth. And therefore it will not potter the next one. The next one is the Petaret. Then it brought it back in and then they switched. Then the other one was born. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says exactly the opposite. The Mishnah said, Haba achar nefelim. Take a look again back in the Mishnah. We're talking about Ezeo Bechor LeNachala Ve'eno Bechor LaKohen. Haba achar nefelim. Af alpi sheyatsa rosho chai. That's our opening cases. The word af alpi doesn't make any sense, but so just read it. Haba achar nefelim, where yatsa rosho chai is considered to not be a bechor lekohen. What is that telling you? that the Rosho Chai was enough to potter it from being a Bechor. Right? So it's considered to be, it is considered to be a Bechor. The first one is considered to be a Bechor, and then it died. And Shmuel is saying the Rosh is not considered to be a Bechor. I don't understand how we could possibly argue with the Mishnah. Furthermore, the next case we had in the Mishnah, where it was a full term that was Yotza Rosho, and over there it says Rosho mate. So there too, the Rosh itself is considered to be the Mekor of the Ptur of the next one. So we have clearly the Mishnah is insisting in both cases that whatever it is that makes it a Nafel, either the fact that it's dead, even though it's fully formed, or the fact that it's a miscarriage and cannot survive, in either case, the Rosh is considered to be the actual Leda. And therefore, even though it went back in and the other one came out, the other one is not considered to be the firstborn. So how do you explain this, Shmuel? Okay, let's see that inside. It's not. Haba achar nefelim sheyatzar rosho chai, or ben tisha sheyatzar rosho mate. But it keeps stressing rosho. So how can Shmuel say it's not rosho that's important? Well, as Shmuel wrote, rosho doesn't mean just rosho. Rosho is a way of saying rubo. What? So just say rubo. Litne rubo. Well, the truth is, if we were only interested in the halacha that the Mishnah is addressing, of course we would have said rubo. We would have. Bedinu dibayla litne rubo. However, the chiddush of the Mishnah is to teach me a din. Because since I needed to continue that Mishnah to say that a ben tishash yatzar rosho mate, so what's the din over there? That haba acharav is considered to be a bechor lanachala and not a bechor lekohen, right? Aha. So the diak would be taima, the rosho mate. But if rosho chai, so then haba acharav, bechor lanachala, nami lohav. Tana Reshanani Rosho. You see, had it said Rubo, what would you have thought? Oh, since it was born Rubo, dead already. That's the reason that we could be Mendaic, that if it had actually was alive at the moment of Rubo, so then had it been alive, then it would have been the Bechor even Lanachala. Too bad it died. So now there is no Bechor Lanachala. Right? So when the father dies, they're all the same. All the living, all the surviving brothers are the same. Because the Bechor died at birth. Okay, let's imagine it would have said Rubo in the Mishnah. So what would my diak have been? So since the firstborn had been born Rubo, therefore it is the Bechor. When it died, that's the end of the Bechor in that family, right? But had it not been born Rubo? Suppose it died and it had only been born Rosha. Ha. So then, the next one, what would have been the halacha over there, would have been the Bechor, because it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. That's not true. Because, as Shmuel made very clear, if it's alive and breathing, and survivable, because it's full term, then Rosh alone would have been a birth. So had I said Rubo, we would have made the wrong deal. We would have said, so if it was alive when Rosh Hashanah, then the next one is not a Bechor. But if it wasn't Rosh Varuba, if it was only Rosho, then the din would have been that the next one would still have been a Bechor Lanacha. Not true. In order to avoid that misconception, we use the word Rosho to represent Rubo. So that even though in the stated case, Rosho means Rosho Varubo, in the implied case, Rosho is only Rosho, and not Rosho Varubo. Because that's the main chiddush over here. And because of that, it's coming to teach me that where you have a Bechor that is alive, even Rosho alone, makes it the Bechor Lanacha. So Tana Raishu Nami Rosho, because of avoiding that improper diuk, we said the word Rosho all along. So Shmuel said, then, okay, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? You're telling me this is very important. The implication is very important. Namely, that what? My Kamashma. Tekima and the Mafka Resha Chai. So it's Havileda. You're telling me if it was a live head, then the head itself is enough, and I don't need Ruba. That's the whole point. And then the next one will be a Bechor for neither. He's neither a Bechor for his mother, nor a Bechor for his father. I don't need the Diak in our Mishnah to tell me that. That's a Beferish of Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hotzi Rosho Afo Pishich Zero Hareze Kiyalud. We had a Mishnah in Chulin, in Behemah Mikasha, to tell me that in terms of the din of a ben bekua, when you shech the mother, and the shechita helps for the child, that if the child had already had been born with its head, then even though now it's entirely back inside the uterus, the shechita same is not going to help. No. So there's your right. That means that the head alone is considered to be a birth. So what do I need this Mishnah to tell me? That the head is considered to be a birth. V'chitema, maybe you want to tell me that, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, but that's referring to an animal. Maybe by a human, that's not the case. V'chitema, shmin, and behima. And our Mishnah is coming to tell me Adam. And why do I need both? Well, I can't learn out an Adam from a behima. Because a behema let le prosidor, the way that a non-human mammal is formed, its thighs go down to the ground, where its vaginal opening points in the other direction than its thigh. In which case, it doesn't really have an extended vagina. So the moment that it opens, the cervix opens, the head comes out, poof, that's a leda. Okay, I understand it's a leda. But by a human, why is that a leda? Maybe it should have to come out already from between it, the woman's thighs completely. So maybe it wouldn't be a latus. I wouldn't know one from the other. Because, after all, it doesn't have a prosdor in a behema. And even if you would have told me an adam, that it's enough just to get out of the uterus, I would not have learned out a behema either. Because I would have said, well, a adam, the reason that the head is considered to be chashev, is because human heads are very special. The human face is particularly meaningful. The chashev partsuf panim didei. But an animal, what's the difference? This organ, that organ, I mean, what, a head is more important than a heart. I mean, it's, so maybe by an animal you would need indeed rovo. You'd measure it by rovo, and its head wouldn't have any particular chashivas. Therefore, I need to know that both by humans and by a behema, that then is Rosh Chai is considered to be a complete leda. That's your excuse. Sorry, not a good excuse. Because I know that too. Hanami Tanina. I know that the halacha is also from a Mishnah, Nida, that namely, Yotze Kedarko, in a normal birth, where the head comes first, the din is Mi Sheyatza. The moment that this child was born as a Rov Rosho, or Achetze, and what does that mean, Rov Rosho? He's a Rov Rosho, just the forehead. Okay, so we now know that when it comes to human birth, we start the Yumei Tuma V'Taira of the Leda, which is what it's referring to over there, from the moment that the head exits. So now I know humans are also defined by the head. From Chulin, I know animals are defined by the head. Why do I need this additional Mishnah with the whole Diyuk? You're telling me the whole Mishnah is built around this Diyuk. And I changed the language of the Mishnah to read Rosha instead of Rubo. To achieve this very important deal. You know, that if Rosha was high, that's a leda. For I have a professional Mishnah that says that. So that can't be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Therefore, the Chiddush of the Mishnah must be not what's implied, but what's stated. And what is that? That Rosha is considered to be a birth even though it's dead. Or Rosha is considered to be a birth even though it's a nefa, which is the exact opposite of Shmuel. Therefore, says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Shmuel, indeed Tiyufta. The Mishnah means what it says. Rosho is Rosho, not Rubo. And the Mishnah is saying whether it's Rosho mate or whether it's a premature birth and Rosho is Chai. In either case, it's considered to be a Peterechem. The next one is not considered to be the Peterechem. And it's considered to be, of course, in terms of the father, that has nothing to do with Peterechem, and it's considered to be his firstborn.
Rosho mate, the whole embryo has four, 4D?
Yes, Rosho mate is only where it's a 9-month full-term infant. Okay, so therefore we give up on Shmuel, and in fact, halacha is defined by the Rosh. Omer Shimon ben Lakish, you should know that padachat, the forehead alone, is sufficient in all circumstances to be considered to be a leda and its poteret, except for one thing, and that's chutz min hanachala, a live birth padachat is not sufficient to pater nachala. Why is that? Because the dim, I'll have to once again say very briefly the introduction. I don't know why you deserve it, but we shall do that. So again, we have completely opposite meanings to the nature of Bechor. And The nature of Bechor obviously has to do with reproduction by definition. So we have the Bechor vis-a-vis a mother, which has to do with the female reproduction, and therefore is defined vaginally. So if a Bechor is born even derech Caesarean, it's not considered to be a Bechor, because it's not a full product of a typical female reproduction. Where that's Peter Rechem specifically. So Yotzi Dofen even is not a Bechor, a remarkable thing. It's that literally defined by the physical body of the female. But the same thing is true by the male, because we have to have a seminal Bechor. That's called Reshit Ono. Ono specifically, as Rashi says, in terms of the Gemara, it says, in terms of Yaakov Avinu, Tipat Zera Rishon, so to speak. So his first usable sperm, that is considered to be, is Reshit Ono. But when we say usable, we mean usable in terms of the other meaning of Ono. Own also means investment. So when something is reshit oni, it's also meramis to Rachel sense of own. In Binyamin, ben oni. She called that ben oni because to her it was sadness. And Yaakov Avinu redefines the nature of own over there to say, no, it's my strength, yamin. But it's the same word. The double meaning of that word, which of course is very much part of Binyamin's painful history, the double meaning of that word is that something is only considered to be my virility if it also is something I invest in. And if it's a child that I can't invest in, it's a mutation. So we had the cases in the Mishnah, mutation. Or it's a stillborn. Or it's has never reached full term, then by definition it's also not reshit oni. So therefore, we have to take into consideration both issues. If the firstborn, therefore, was enough to activate the din of peter rechem, so then the next one is not a peter rechem, but may easily be the first child that I care about, so the father. And therefore, vis-a-vis the father, it's a reshit oni. Or, of course, you could have exactly the opposite. You could have something that the father is invested in for the first time, but that has come after there was a peter rechem, which is determined only by biology, not by investment, and therefore over there, like, even if it was yotza mechutach, it would be considered no longer, the next one would no longer be a peter rechem. So therefore comes along Reish Lakish to say that Bechor has a special din. Why? Because the way that the Torah identifies Bechor is et ha-bechor ben hasnuya asnu'a yakir ki hu reishit ono. There, the Torah is telling you, you must be able to recognize yakir. You must be able to recognize your firstborn. If you cannot see a face, you can't recognize him. And therefore, padachat may be the definition of rosho. In other cases, says Reish Lakish, in any and all cases, except in terms of defining him as the Bechor for his father, because there's no Yakir, and that's a unique situation. Something that you can recognize. Rabbi Yochanan says, even for Bechor of Nachala, it's still enough. Afilo Nachala. Now, when Reish Lakish says, Padacha Poter Mikomakom, I mean, it seems to be referring to some type of esoteric case all over. What case are you referring to? Mikomakom. Ah, Latuyamai. Latuyar the Tanar Rabbanan, an interesting case. You have a Gioret, and she is in the middle of becoming a Gioret. You know, so she figures she'll go to the mikveh, have one of these modern births in the mikveh. It's like a really in thing. So, the question is, did the Vlatz Padachat come out before she got fully under the water herself? See? So then if she was still in Nochrit, and then she gets into the water, so then she's in Gaira. So then if that's the case, she's free and clear, because she doesn't get any Tumas Leda, because she wasn't Jewish. So you know, she doesn't get, well, of course she doesn't get Yemei Tahara either, but you know, there's good parts and bad parts. So there's no din of Tumas Leda. But there's also no Chiev of bringing her Korban Leda, because she didn't have a child as a Jewish, she had a child as a Goyim. So it may be a matter of a split second. But who came first? That's our question now. Over there, it says, padachat. That's the point that Reish Lakish said. Even that case is defined by padachat. Here, the question is from the Braita, Meitve, Yakir. Yakir, which is a reference to Bechor, is hakarat panim, defined by ezoi hakarat panim. That is the partsuf panim ad hachotem, the face im hachotem, with the nose. which according to Rabbi Yochanan is not true. The forehead does not include the nose, so it's the exact opposite. It says Rabbi Yochanan, it shouldn't say ima chotem. It should say ad hakotem, meaning the whole padachat up until the beginning of the nose is sufficient. Tashma, when it comes to witnesses that are coming to identify a woman's husband that they claim saw as a casualty of war or accident or whatever it is, they can only be made if they see the person with the partsuf panim im hachotam. They have to be able to say we identified him by seeing his face and his nose. No, says Rabbi Yochanan, that means up to his nose. Well, tashma, padachat below partsuf panim below padachat ein me'idim. Look, it says very clearly over here. You cannot testify on a padachat without a face, okay? That's about as opposite as Rabbi Yochanan as you could say. Ad shiyu shnehem, you need the top part of the head, the lower part of the face, together with the nose, and there's no such thing as a edus unless you have both. Ima chotam, now what do you want? So how can Rabbi Yochanan argue with this? Yom Rabbi v'tamer Rebkana, we learn from a pasuk. Mikra. What is the pasuk that makes it very clear that we're talking about their face fully? Hakarat pneihem antabam. Look at him. Look at him. Ay, 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 what a kid. So there we're talking about hakarat panim. That's the parts of panim. That is what you need to be antab. It's all shalom veidu, right? Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's not a problem. This is in terms of edut isha. Edut isha, the rabbanan, very chomer. Because to be mater and eshetish liyelam, we insist on having 100% identification. Mashenkin, when it comes to the ikar hadid of identifying the bechor, you don't need that much of an identification. What if anything the rabbanan are makel in order to avoid the problem of agunot? Es the gemara umiach miru, the rabbanan are machmir. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah that it became the derech uchzaku to be masi'im, to marry a woman even based on hearsay testimony, aid mipi aid, even from a non-kosher aid, an isha, an eved, a shifcha? I mean, you're telling me the rabbanon are machmir? Did you ever see another case like this, that they're makil so much? Ah, true. But they're only makil bisofa. They're makil as to who they believe about what they saw. But they're not makil about what needs to be seen. What needs to be seen is precise identification. So ki akilu rabbanan bisofa, meaning in the kabbalat ha'idut, but betchilata, to define what the edut is, where they see and identify the deceased, over there, lo akilu rabbanan at all. Well, you know what? Maybe we don't have to get into it. Could be the whole thing is not even a kasha. It's not because the rabbanan are machmir. You know what it is? There's two different issues over here. Et habachor ben hasnua yakir. That's in terms of Bechorah. And then we have the Pnehem Antabam, the din of giving Edut is Hakarat Pnehem. That's the entire face. Those are two different things. One is Yakir, and one is Hakarat Pnehem. So Yakir Lakud, look, I feel that I have a visa that this is my child. That's a Bechor Benet. That's Yakir is sufficient. But when we're talking about Hakarat Panim is a different issue. And when it comes to Edut, Enochinami, I, Rabbi Yochanan, also made that. I'm only coming to tell you that the concept of Yakir is sufficient to trigger that response of parenthood. And Rashi don't know. Yakir is Badachat. Did I ever say that you can be made Edus Isha based on Badachat? Not at all. Yesh bechor la nachala veino bechor la kohen veino bechor la nachala vila kohen veyesh eino bechor lo la nachala vila la kohen ezeo bechor la nachala veino bechor la kohen haba achar nefeilim sheyatza rosho chai or bentisha sheyatza rosho meit vehamapelet kimin beim achaya va'ov, which is still called peterechem. Did we really mean it? Chachomim say, no, that's a mutation, it's not even a peterechem. Archehebo mitzurat adam. Hamapelet sandal, oshilya, oshvir merukam. Vahayotze mechutach, haba acharehem, b'chol anachala, v'eno b'chol akohen. On the other hand, mishalo yulo banim, v'nasa isha, shekvar yalda. And she was oda shifcha v'nishtachara. Oda ovedet kochavim, v'nitgaira, and then Mishabat Yisrael Yelda, Bechor Lenachala, Veino Bechor Lakohen. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Bechor Lenachala Vilakohen, because the first one was a goy, and therefore is not called Petarechem B'Yisrael. It needs to be Yifteru Rechem B'Yisrael. Misha Yulo Banim, Menasa Isha Shelo Yelda, or Nitgaira Mu'uberet, or Nishtachara Mu'uberet, and then Yalda, and her husband was Megayer with her. He, the Kohenet in a room, and they confused the children. He, the Leviyah in a room, they confused the children. He, the Sheshikvar Yalda in a room, and they confused the children. V'chein mi shalosha atala achar ba'ala, shalosha chodashim. V'niseit v'yalda v'eni adua, im ben tishal rishon, im ben shivala acharon. There's definitely a Bechor LeKohen here. You just don't know what it is. V'eino Bechor LeNachala. Omar Shmuel ain't a rosh poter ben a failing at all. My time kol hashe nishmat ruach chayim ba pav, kol hashe nishmat chayim ba pav, hu de chashiv reishit. Anything else is lo chashiv reishit. Tznan haba achar nefeilim, she yatsa rosh chay, or haba achar ben tisha, she yatsa rosh meit. What are you talking about? Katani mi rosho. Nah, rosho means rubo. So say rubo, b'dinu di b'ayla lemitnei rubo. But the important thing in our Mishnah is the diuk. I didn't think a boy would meet the seifa. Ben tisha shiotza rosho meit. And so what's the implication? That it's only because it was rosho meit. But if it would be rosho chai, then Abba Harav would not even be a bechor l'nachla. Huh? So it had to say resha also, rosho, because otherwise I would have thought only if, even if it's born alive, only if it's rubo, and that's not true. So what are you saying? So the big chiddush of this Mishnah is what? Ma'akam Ashma. To give him the mafikle reisha, have it like leila? It's a fair shemesh and chulin. Hotzi rosho, alfa pishich zero, hareze ki yalud. V'chi teima, well, but that's talking about an animal. I need this Mishnah to teach me about Adam, and I need both. Adam mi behima lo yalith, because a behima let la prozdor, and therefore it's immediately a birth. Be'at behima mi Adam lo yalfa, Bishop Lakashiv parts of Ponim today. Sorry, because Anami Tanina, Yatzat Kidarko, Mishi Yatzar Rov Rosho, and Ezel Rov Rosho, Misha Teitse Padakta. There you go. Ooh, Tiyufta Shmuel, Tiyufta. Omri Shlokish, Padachat is actually enough. Bechomakom, Chutz Ben Anachala. My time, Yakir means you got to be able to recognize personally. And when Rish Lakish said, Bikoma kom, what was he adding? Latuya mai? Latuya de Tana Rabbana Giorek, Shiatsa padachat vlada, Vihiota nochrit, Vacharkag nit gaira, Inodinla yemetomavi metara, Veina mevia korban leda, Mate veyakir, Zo hakarat panim, Vezo yakarat panim, Partsuf panim, im hakota, Etni adakota. How can you do that? Tashma ein meidim elal partsuf panim imachotem. No, there too. Adachotem. And what do you do with this? Tashma padachat below partsuf panim. Partsuf panim below padachat ein meidim achir shneim imachotem. V'am rabaya v'yitem refkan is even a pasuk. Maikra'a hakarat pneim antabam. Ah, that's edutisha. Shani edutisha deachmiru barabanan. On the contrary, miach miro, v'otan ruchzeku leyot mesin al bi ed mi pi ed, mi pi isha, mi pi eved, mi pi shivcha. That's true. But ki akilu rabbanon in terms of the Kabbalat edut b'sofa, b'tchilata lo akilu rabbanon. Or you know what? The whole thing could be even the Dioraita. Yibay tema, yakir l'chud, which even without partzuf panim is enough, and hakarat b'neyem, which is the whole face, is l'chud. That's in terms of the din of etud. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. So today's daf is Mem Vav. We're holding by the beginning of the parak. Now we know that there are, obviously the Mishnah is not telling us there exists such a thing as a Bechor L'Nachla, not a Bechor L'Kohen, and that's quite clear. The Bechor L'Kohen goes according to the mother, the Bechor L'Nachla goes according to the father. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that, there's a preferreship circuit. But the Mishnah is coming to discuss ambiguous situations in which there has been a prior Leida, and the Shaila is it considered to be a Leida, either vis-a-vis the father, l'gavi the mother. And in order to clarify that there's certain cases of ambiguous Leidos that tend in one direction or the other, we put the cases here together to establish what gives a Bechor Adin of a Bechor Legabi both of these dinim. And so Mamela, the Mishnah, will talk about not the standard case, but the cases where we need to make a determination, which one is a Bechor L'Nachla, what is a Bechor L'Kohen, there exists such thing obviously as a Bechor L'Kohen, the Eino Bechor L'Nachla, and there exists an obvious cases even where there are some Sveikas of Bechor L'Nachla V'L'Kohen, the Yesh Eino Bechor L'Nachla V'Lo L'Kohen. Now the Mishnah is going to go through, our first Mishnah is going to go through the first two cases. Ezehu Bechor L'Nachla V'Eino Bechor L'Kohen. Where do you find that vis-a-vis the father, a Bechor is considered to be a Bechor, and he inherits Bishnayim, but vis-a-vis the mother, in other words, it's not considered to be a Petarechem, and therefore the same child is not considered to be a Bechor Lagabe Ima, to be Mechuyev in Fidyon HaBen. The case would be like this, Habo Achar Nefelim, in a case where you have someone, a child that is born, a child that is born after the previous birth of a Nefel. So the case of the Nefel would be sufficient to potter the mother, but since it's a Nefel and we darshan from Kihure, she's Ono. And Ono has a curious double meaning. It means virility, strength, but it also means misery. The two apparently go hand in hand. We find this by the name Binyamin has a double meaning. And therefore, we darshan nisha libay shall aviv edava alo. As be somebody who's going to be worried, he's going to be miserable over if he would lose him and so on. And a child that is a nafel doesn't count. Because he knows at birth he has no hopes for this child, doesn't pin any future on him. The male, that's not reshit ono. So the reshit ono is the one that would be born after the male. Yeah, we're going to talk about the details of Nefel in 1 second. So that means that what might be Petereka, I mean, at least it's considered to be a human delivery, as far as the mother is concerned, that delivery is not the same thing as a child that a parent pins their hopes on. And the question of Yerusha is very different than the physical question of Petereka, of having been the first to open the womb. Now, when we talk about Achar Nefelim, what we mean is that even Avafishi Yatsa Roshochai, even though this Nefel had been born with its Rosh still living, in other words, its eyes were open and so on, but then, in other words, it's not a complete delivery, and then comes out now Ochiv, who survives the birth, the Nefel is in the end delivered stillborn, or even if it was a bentisha, meaning it was a completely formed child, so it was not premature in any way. But by the time that its head emerged, it was born still. So there was no life outside of the womb. Shiatsa Rosho mate. In both of these cases, you're going to see a little bit in the Gemara, some Prote Dinim Lagabi, the complete birth of a Nefel Shiatsa Rosh Chai, you know, whether what the situation is with that. But in any event, here, because there was never a time that Ben Tisha, who the father would have pinned hopes on, had been born mitzad halacha Chai in terms of his Rosh. So over there, the father has the next child to be the Bechor. Hamapelet kimin beima chayev oath. And, what's more, if the firstborn was a type of behema chayev ba'ov, according to Rabbi Meir, mutation. Remember, we have a machlokas. Rabbi Meir holds that it's enough, even though you don't have any clear-cut human features, but since the eyes are basically similar, so any tzura of behema chayev ba'ov is also considered to be a human mutation. Whereas the Chachomim, we saw before, argued about this. Here too they argued. You need to have some element that connects it to a vlad in order to be a peterecha. But if it doesn't have a tsuras adam, it's not even called peterecha, which means that the next child to be born is not only a bechol and akala, he's also a bechol and a yuma, to be required pidyabim. Hamapelet sandal, o shilya, o shvir nuhukam. Furthermore, when you have over here a mother that delivers together with, and before, together with her live birth, a sandal. Now, a sandal is generally the simen of a vlad, of a degenerate vlad. In other words, there began the formation of a twin. The twin never developed. It was there wasn't enough room to develop, whatever it was, and so it ended up. So a sandal is basically something vaguely uber-shaped, but without a tzuras panim at all, or the shilya itself, or a shvir merukam, which is basically an empty membrane that has the general shape of a vlad, or hayotze mechutak, or if there was a vlad that they were unable to deliver and they had to cut it up in the womb in order to get it out. In all such cases, the child that comes afterwards, although he's clearly a bechor l'nachla, because the father certainly was never libo davar, any of these weird things, but it's not a bechor l'koin, because these things, even a varim that are mechutakos, once you have rove of the varim come out, so that's considered to be a birth, even though it's not a live birth, and therefore the next one is not a peterechem. Mishilo hayulo badim, v'nasai shashakar yalda, for that matter, somebody who never had any children who marries a woman who had already had a child, or Oda Shifcha v'nishtachrera, or Oda Ovedet Kochavim v'nitgayera, and Mishabat v'Yisrael Yalda. How about a woman who had children, but had children as a Shifcha, or as an Ovedet Kochavim? She's now mitgayeret, and she has her first child as a Jew. That first child as a Jew can be the first child for her husband, but it can't be her peterechem, because that's considered to be the reality. Her rechem was already nifteret when she was a goya. Same b'chol l'kohen. Rabbi Yosef really argues on these last cases, and he says that in such a case, the b'chor is both a nachla v'lekohen, because even though she had a peterechem as a goya, the pasuk says peterechem b'yisrael. So that means that the same woman, having become now a yisrael, never had Tzirat Rechem as a Yisraeli, and therefore there was no Tzirat Rechem as far as Halacha is concerned. She'achi yiftu Rechem mi Yisrael, and Mamela, she now has her firstborn.
So, a woman can marry a Kohen.
There's no Kohen. Kohen means to pay Pidyon Aben. The Kohen means the Kohen gets the Pidyon Aben, is the meaning of before the Kohen. No, no, it's just a simon of the word that we're trying to talk about. Is it a bechor legabi peterecha? What's it negea? Well, they have to pay some mishus leim lekayim. That's the meaning of lekayim. No. No. Misha yulo banim. Minatza isha shelo yalda. Someone who had children himself. And he goes now and marries a woman that had never had children. Or she was mitgayeret as a mu'uberet, or she was nishtakara as a mu'uberet, the yalda, or if she gave birth as yalda, he the kohenet, he the leviyah, he the sheshkar yalda. Let's say they mixed up the children in the hospital. She had had a child, a woman had a child, a regular woman as a child with the kohenet who gives birth in the same room, or a leviyah who gives birth in the same room, or a woman who had already had a vlad who gives birth in the same room. Now here, obviously, there is a bechor. that we just don't know which one is which. I mean, if they're both having a firstborn, one of them is tied to the Kohen, one of them is not tied to the Kohen. In such a case, the halacha is that obviously the father still has to pay his chamisha shloim, even though he can't identify his child. Because somewhere or other, his child is in there. So the siyah of pidyon ben he has, and therefore that child is a b'chor l'kohen. However, he obviously cannot be Yorish's father. So he can't be a b'chor l'nakla. As the Gemara will point out, he's not a nakla at all. I mean, it's not only a question of b'chor l'nakla. They'll have to prove that he is a child in order for the other heirs to allow him to inherit. So he won't be able to inherit. It's just horrific. Okay, now the two earlier cases we were talking about, Banyas Gairav and Ishtakara, the case over there is that a woman and her husband are both Bitgayer. And now the Shaila is that child that is born to Bechor L'Nachal? He is a Bechor L'Kohen, because this is Peter Rechad, it's a firstborn, so there's no question. And it's a Peter Rechad of the Yisrael Zavut. Notice he was Yoledet as a Yisraeli, not as a Shivcha, not as a Goyim. The Shiloh over here is that the father does not have a relationship to this child. Because even though his so-called wife gave birth to this child, and it's his biologically, the point is that what? The point is oh, that's the question. One would think that that's the point. There's no character, so that's a shenela dami. Which place is Tainan? That's the point. The reason that over here it's not the child is because Gershon is Gaius, the Kotan Shemela dami, and therefore he is not considered to be the father, even though while he was a Goy, he would have been the father, and he would have had a Yerusha, so there is a bit of Yerusha by growth. For some reason, and this now becomes a Machlokas Rashi and Taisus, Rashi inserts that the reason that he's not considered to be a Bechor L'Nachala is because Zera Mitzri Rachmona Aftere, Ketziv Zirmat Susim Zirmatam. It's not considered to be a child of. In terms of a goy, there's no child at all. So Tosfos Tanya is, what do you mean? The halacha is in fact, the mitzri is Yerush of the Midiraisa. So you can't say that it's considered not to be his child in that sense. It's only because he's a ger that it's not considered to be his child. So what's the point of saying, Avkure Avkure Rachman El Azari, as the Gemara puts it? The Torah was mafkir to Zerah. All right. So this brings where it's nogeya, this additional din of Akre. But it says, what does that have to do with the case that we're talking about over here?
The father?
No, we have two separate sets of cases here. We have the suffix cases where the Kohenes Levia and Mishafar Yaldar in the same hospital room as the woman who gives birth, and the children get mixed up. That's the last three cases. The previous two cases were cases of a family that's misguided together, stays together. And the problem is that she had already been pregnant before she becomes a ger. Everybody's made it that child is not the heir of his father, even though he's a Petzareka. No, as far as he's going. Yeah, not that it would matter. So she's also, she's still a ger, she's married, and that's the problem with Rashi. What does it have to do with the relationship of the father because he's a mitzvah? So to speak, a good, because it's your matzusim. Okay, this already is a sugya that goes way beyond our issues over here to discuss the nature of birth, not the nature of patrilinear or matrilinear descent, which is a sugya of omis. But in any event, the case in the Mishnah is clear. There's two places here, two general places, where the Bechor remains a Bechor L'Kohen, even though in the latter three cases we can't identify the Bechor, or in the initial cases there's no father, so to speak, because the Bechor L'Kohen. But nonetheless, in order to be a Bechor L'Nachla, you have to be able to assert your Bechora, or you have to be able to have a din of Av Minatera in order to be Yerush. Yeah. Isn't there one? No, there's no kedusha. This is a din in Tesseret, not in Horasa Kedusha. That's a different halacha.
The
Recha means at birth. Yeah. No. The Maisa. The Maisa. If I had delivered this before as a Yotzei Dofen, it wouldn't have been before a Kodesh Kodesh. So in all of these final cases, including a case in which a woman who had not had a child before loses her husband or gets divorced and immediately goes and marries somebody else without waiting the requisite period of 3 months to determine whether she had been pregnant, and she now delivers a child 7 months after her second marriage, we have no way of ascertaining whether, even though he's definitely a pederastan, because it's her first delivery, we have no way of ascertaining who the father is, whether the original husband was the father and it was a bentisha, normal gestation, bechor, or whether it was a ben shiva that was completed in shiva kadashi, and now is being born, thank you very much, to the second one. So memela, in that case, we have a definite bechor. Of course, nobody's going to pay for him, but each one of the daddies is going to say, well, let the other guy pay. But he'll have to pay for himself in this case. I mean, that, our concern here is not for who pays, it's for the Kedusha of the Bechor, obviously. So in all of these cases, we have a Bechor LeKohen who is not a Bechor LeNakla. In this latter case, again, he's not a Bechor at all. I mean, he's not a Nosel at all, right? Because whoever he goes to get the money from, the heirs are going to say, listen here, honey, you go to your other family. So he's stuck without any family, basically, in terms of Yerusha. Yeah, he can't take it. Okay, that's better.
That's
no, we'll see the Gemara. We'll talk about the Gemara tomorrow. You might have to think. Sure.
Today,
the Gemara should come there.
There was no such thing as any DNA, obviously, there's no such thing as
it's interesting, we're going to talk about it. A little bit of a riot. Yeah, the Gemara is going to talk about that, but in a different context. Oh, my Shmuel. Ein harosh koter b'nefelim. My Shmuel says a rather dramatic statement that seems on the face of it to run, I'm sorry for we'll see for the pun, but on the face of it seems to run counter to the Mishnah. Shmuel Taina, that a nafel that is only delivered by its head, so in other words, all that was born, and it was a ben shmeina, and it wasn't viable, it emerged with its head, where the head was still alive, and now comes out the other child, while it is still in utero. The din is that the second child, says Shmuel, is actually the one that is the Petereth.
The first child
is a Ben Shmona. Is not viable.
Sorry? The first one is set it out and stuck on the goal line?
Yeah, yeah. That's the case of Peretz and Zerach and Matera, right? Oh, that's the problem. Learning the case like this means that they seem to be twins. They're both being born at the same time. One is an April, one isn't an April. There's all types of discussions. What is the situation? In general, we say in Isha Mitaberet, the Chozeret and Mitaberet, so that there wouldn't be that there were two separate conceptions, one of which was 2 months older. Although interestingly, there are such cases. I mean, all the cases where we say Ain, it doesn't mean never happened. There was a whole article in Time magazine about such a delivery about 5-10 years ago. A totally different conception, but it was rare enough to make the news. And here you have twins, one of which was 2 months older than the other one, and in fact was delivered 2 months later. So again, that's a very rare situation. So there's shaylos. Is it shaylos to be that one of them is a ben shiva, one of them is a ben tisha? Thing is, we're talking about twins. You know, it's a shaylos. I mean, the Gemara takes for granted that we're talking about a case of a single conception that now splits into two, which obviously is only in the case of identical twins. Or is it talking about that that maybe the birth actually occurs later, 2 months later, which looks very stronger is the case. Everybody's titles on them, so it's not all that normal, even though the mice will discuss it later on in the sugya. But in any event, so learns Rashi, the sugya, the nepho here is together in the womb with another child. That way we avoid the fact that the nepho, having been born in its entirety, should certainly be a tetereka, which lamaisa is not so pashut. It depends how you gurus in the Mishnah, if you gurus apalpi in the Mishnah or not. The tour paskins one way, the grow paskins another way. But in order to avoid that problem, we could talk about that in utero. At the same delivery, the ben shimona sticks out his head, takes the head back in, the surviving child is born. Right. Okay. Tainish world, that's not called, the first one wasn't Tetereka. Why? Because this kol Hashem Yishmat Ruach Chaim Be'apav, that means that the only place where we're makshiv, the Av, has a reference to life, is that kol Hashem Yishmat Ruach Chaim Be'apav. Who the Chashiv Reishit? Idok lo Chashiv Reishit. One who is a Ben Chaim, then the Av is meaning. One who is not a Ben Chaim but happens to be technically alive but has no viability, that's not considered to be the Rosh as being Chashiv. And therefore, couldn't be that in the case of a delivery of a Rosh alone, we would call that Rosh a Petereka. It's not part of a viable Ruach Chaim. Well, I mean, this whole idea is very interesting because there's such a thing as life that doesn't have a din of human life. Right. In other words, the chlal, this concept, I mean, the goyim don't make this distinction. I mean, something is alive in the sense that it has cells that are exhibiting signs of life and so on. So by definition, that's a human life to them. I mean, it can't be a machalik between life and human life. But here, the Gemara is machalik constantly between the chemical expression of life and the idea of life. The fact that you can have replicating cells and they do the things that life does doesn't mean the Torah considers them to be alive in terms of giving them the dinim of life. It's a separate issue.
It's true.
No, it's much less than a trefai. Much less than a trefai. I mean, we talk about that before our boy Yom, even though you have a perfectly living uber, it's nothing. It's water. It's not considered to be life. It's cells that are functioning and dividing and so on. Big deal. What is that? That's a chemical thing. That's not a meaningful thing. Yeah. In other words, the Jewish response to all of these issues is so what if they're living cells? Big deal. But that comes very much from a Jewish point of view, that the emergent qualities of life are different in essence than the chemical expression of life. So the fact that you can have something that looks human, sounds human, acts human, and so on, is not necessarily alive in the sense that we call a human life. Yeah, I mean, it's what we call the shaman.
40 days.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. That's the definition of receiving the shaman. It's not a magical mumbo jumbo issue. The question is, at what point is that emerging quality called Yishmas Ruach Chaim? As I've pointed out many times, I do not believe that there is such a thing as an neshama. It only exists with a guf. The raya is that the body that holds neshamas and neshamayim is called the guf. Call it neshama shabba guf. What a ridiculous name for a holding pattern for neshamas. So that means that in terms of space, what we're talking about are those neshamas that have a guf. In terms of living through the process, we see it as not having been born yet. So this is the neshama that matches that guf, but only existed because of that guf. There's no such thing as a separate thing called a neshama. Or whatever guf, whatever you want to talk about, the Kabbalistic aspect, the same information, we can think of difference in different bodies, but that's also obvious. I mean, there's nothing that makes a specific form of life or a specific body the mucker for the emergent quality. If it was inside some kind of silicon-based life on some other planet, it's not the same information. So it would also be the same neshama, so to speak.
But it has to emerge out of the universe, which consists of both Osias Hashem. There's no such thing as something that is mufshat and still is considered to be real, an extant entity within my separations. But in the end, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's pilot with a malachim. You don't even exist. You're offended to the imagination. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks his finger there, all of a sudden you disappear. Why is that? We don't disappear. I'm being offended to say HaKadosh. Let's see, try that one again. And that's why they become Ohavim Shel Moshe, because ultimately they realize that their existence is a function of Adam. You can discuss emergent things as if it's a different Eilam. It's not. It's a different Eilam. We always do that. And we talk about ourselves as if we exist without discussing the issues that allow us to exist that we're not even aware of there. We always pretend that this Eilam is the only Eilam. And I really don't believe that there's such a thing as that, as something that you would call a neshama, that you have to talk about as if it's a magic thing, that it's nisar for neshama, and then the two are identical. Because which way you want to talk about it?
The body, first drops the body, then separates temporarily?
No.
Never.
There's always a place. There's a place. Space-time has that continued existence. Mela, that aspect that you want to call neshama relating to separately is not dependent on a particular instant of the space-time that you're in. That's all that it's saying. Mela, all information remains in the universe. Not that it disappears from the universe. You never lose that. Anyway, so over here, you would have, and as Shmuel, you have something which is called maybe a functioning chemical life, but it isn't life. So he calls a petharef. Now, of course, this is very strange because the Mishnah says the fish is not like that. I mean, we just read the Mishnah that if a ben shemena is delivered with rosho chai, so then it's considered to be the one afterwards is not the petharef. I don't say, what's he going to do with the Mishnah? It's the Gemara. It's not. We just had in our Mishnah ba'ach and nefelim. What is the nefelim? She yatsar rosho chai. And then Tisha Shiatza Rosho Meis. I understand Shmuel. Does it say Rosho or not? Katanimi has Rosho. Nah, it's a Shmuel. It doesn't mean literally Rosho. It means Rosho Verugo. Then why does it say so? And why is it saying Rosho? No, the truth is Bedinu Diboyla Misne Rubo. The Mishnah means Rosho Verugo, except that had it said Rubo, it would have fooled you into thinking that the Sefer also meant Ruba. And that would have been very misleading, because by the Ben Tisha, it's not a din in Ruba, really is a din in Rosho. So either the Kabbalah, Mr. Sefer, Ben Tisha, Shiyotza Rosho Mace, and over there, Dafka Shiyotza Rosho Mace, had it been Rosho Chai of a viable blah, that would have been a Leda, and would have fathered the one afterwards now, and would also have been a Bechor L'Nachla, and the second one would not have been. So if I would have misled you into thinking, using the word Rosh HaVerubo, you would have thought, oh, in other words, if Rosh HaVerubo was Chai of the Ben Tisha, but not just Rosho, and that's not true, even Rosho would have been considered a complete blot. So since it wanted to say Ben Tisha Shiyotza Rosho Mace, and the whole point is time of the Rosho Mace, but if Rosho Chai, he's a complete child that died. So the Bechor died, then Abba Charog would even not be a Bechor L'Nachla. So Bechor L'Nachla Nani Lo Havi. So I can't use the word Rubo. Memela, I use the word Rosho in order to tell me that I wasn't the Sefer. And the Reisha wasn't coming to tell me any specific Chiddush. And therefore, it's on a Reisha Nani Rosho. So excuse me, so then what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Tell me the Chiddush of the Mishnah is not in terms of the Reisha. The Reisha doesn't even mean what it says. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Sefer. That Rosho is what's defining the Leda of a Ben Kayama. That I need a Mishnah here in the Chiddush for. A Ben Kayama. First of all, we had that back in school. It was the whole Sugya Bema Makasha, but what is considered to be Leda? So my Kamashman, to give it a mapic Lereisha Havi Leda, what are you telling me? I need a Mishnah in Bechorot to teach that the Leda of a Rosh of a Bar Kayama is a Leda. Semina, well, we had a Mishnah before. Hotzi, Rosho, Apophishi, Zero, Hareza, Kiyolud, it's not going to be Nifter with the Shechita of the mother, etc., etc. Why do I need to repeat it here? I know what you're going to tell me, because some of it's talking about a Behema. And here it's talking about an Adam. And you can't really learn out an Adam for a Behema. Because we need to have both of them, as we said before, in full and the Chitema. Maybe you'll try to tell me, like we said earlier, Ashmina Behema, the Kamashman Ba'adam. Because after all, I cannot derive Adam ni Behema lo Yali. Dilesla Prozdor. A Behema, I could say, was the Leda of a Behema of a Rosh. The moment the Rosh comes out, I mean, it's evident that the Uber is out. By a human, when the Rosh comes out, it's not even visible. Because the woman's uterus opens up to between her thighs. And therefore, as if it had a woman in a normal position could have had already a Leda at half of the group, and nobody would even notice that there was a Leda. Because the child is still mukhusa by her own thighs. That's not the case by a Behema. So maybe only by Behema we view now a Yitzias Reisha to be considered a Leda. Mashen came, and Adam, that had the Prozdor, and by the way, as Tosis points out, don't confuse this din of Prozdor, which usually means the actual vaginal channel in all inyonim that have to do with the Ilkus Nida and so on. Here it means an extension of the compass, an extension of her channel. Obviously it's not a reference here to Prozdor. Don't think that in Nida we're talking about between the thighs. There's two usages of the word Prozdor, and he brings other examples. Don't worry about the fact that we'll use a word with two technical meanings interchangeably depending on the context. As many times we do this, and he brings examples. Okay, so over here the nature of Prozdor means there's no Prozdor, that is to say, obviously an animal has a vagina. There's no Prozdor in the sense that there's no thighs that extend the Prozdor of the womb itself. And there, we can't learn out. Okay, so you'll tell me, I need this Mishnah to teach me, even by an Adam, the Rosh alone is considered to be a Leda by a Bar Kayom with a Ben Tishachak. Maybe that's what you'll tell me. I said, why do I need to know over there by Behemoth, the Koshik and Behemoth? No. Behemoth, the Adam, lo Yal, Pabishim, the Koshik, Parts of Ponim, the day. I also want to, because I have a Mishnah in Bukhari, therefore I'm going to derive that an animal is considered to be Yolud. I said, why is the animal considered to be Yolud? It's faith. Faith. The difference is the front end or its rear end on a behema. Who cares? Obviously, by a behema should go according to its role. Kamash will learn the Mishnah in Chulin. No, by a behema also, it's considered to be Rosha. All right? That's what you'll try to tell me. I'm sorry, it's not going to answer. Because Hanami Tanina, I know the din of Rosha as later from the Mishnah Nina. Yotza Kidarko. Mishi Yatzef, it's a normal birth. In other words, it's not a breech delivery. So that you have now the Rosh coming first. Then Mishi Yatze Rov Rosho. The Ezehu Rov Rosho. Mishi Yatze Padakto. Once the forehead comes out, that's a Leda. And so now, excuse me, well, so what do I need this Mishnah for? I say to Shmuel, it's just the opposite. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is the Resha, not the Sefer. So now I'm going to, there you need to know that the Leda of the Rosh of a Ben Shimona is not considered to be a viable Leda Lagabe B'Kolonachma. Good. But I certainly don't need it for the Sefer. There's no Kiddush in the Sefer. So how can you tell me that it says in the Resha, Rosha, what it really means, Rubo, because it doesn't want to mess up the Sefer. The whole point is the Resha. Who cares about the Sefer? Sefer is a prepared Mishnah. Therefore, to Yufta, the Shmuel, indeed, unanswerably, to Yufta. The Mishnah is saying the opposite of Shmuel. Wants to take into consideration the Mishnah in Nida, and Shmuel doesn't have a chance. The din is that the halak of the Hashivas of Rosh is not dependent on viable life. You notice that in the Mishnah in Nida, it said, Mishi Yetze Pabakto. The forehead alone would be sufficient to lay that. Says Reb Shimon ben Lakish, you should know that the padachas is indeed the definition of a leda b'chol makom chutz min hanachla. Every place except where it comes to dinim of nachla, Meaning what? Tadinam of Nakala. Says Rashi, meaning that if the Ponav Shal Rishon came out only up to and including the Padachat, but not including the actual face, the nose and the eye and so on, so then the halak would be that the Bechor, the next one is the Bechor Lanav. The Rambam learned. In other words, if the child had been born Rosho, alive, so then the next one is not considered to be the Bechor L'Nachama, or was a viable child. In the case where it's born alive, but the face didn't come out, only the head came out. So this part is visible, but this part with the eyes down is not visible. Then it's not considered to be the later of the Bechor, and the next one is the Bechor for the father. Dead. Or chopped up, or whatever. Yeah. Not when its faith came out, but afterwards it was dead. Like the case we had in the Mishnah. So Rashi learns that's what it's like. Yeah. The Rambam has a fascinating shot in what the pshat is chutzpah and akhla. He says it's nothing to do with two Bukharis. Very simply this. The din of Bukhar l'nachama is only when the Bukhar was born in the lifetime of the father. So suppose the baby was delivered as the father's dying. And the padacha came out, the father dies. And now the rest of the face comes out. Even though the later legabe, all different dinim took place before the death of the father, but legabe, the later of the bechor took place after the death of the father. And therefore, he's not considered to be a bechor. Thank you, Shnai. No, he's yours. It's not yours for Shine. So the other half is the only yours. You want to lie. This guy might have been pregnant with 15 women before that. He's the first one to be born. So, doesn't mean there's no other heirs.
But the one you were born after,
of course. Yeah. Yours, you're not yet. Very constituted. But not a book. Of course, and yours, you're not yet. So now.
That's
what Oriel just spoke about. I mean, you know, you're used to these modern little semi-feminine males that only manage to get one woman pregnant. I mean, over the years he's left behind 15 pregnant girlfriends. And what's the problem? Come on, get a little red blood. I mean, this is, you've been hanging around the Ramban too long. Think back to the days of Shimshon. When men were men.
Half of Asia is in the Genghis Khan.
Half of Asia?
The Genghis Khan.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Listen, I mean, all these African tribes are claimed to be Abbe Shlomo. Fine. Anyway, why is this true? Where will we get the new halakha, legabe, bechor? Because in the very same pasuk that defines the nature of bechor, it says that ha-bechor ben asnua yakir ki ureshisono. So the yakir means that he has to be recognizable to the father. Recognizable requires more than a father. So even though technically it's leida, but it's not a bechor. Rabbi Yochanan, afilu nakala. Even the gadai nakala, it's considered to be a bechor. Now, when Rish Lakish said bechol mokom, what is bechol mokom? Is there a place where it's a bigger tradition than the other place? I mean, what's bechol mokom coming to tell me? Let's see, am I? Lasi, how to turn her up on it. Giyoret, she yatsa padachat vlada, teheyotan nochrit, veachakach nitgaira, ein notnim la yemetumavi metara, they may be a korban leida. Over here, a woman is in the process of becoming a giyoret. As the child is being born, the beginning of the later, she's still a goyim. She one of these modern women gives birth in the mikvah proper. In the mikvah proper. So now the moment that the Dakat came out, she is already a Yoledes, who is not Chayevis in Dinim of Leda. She doesn't have a Kabbal Tum of Leda. She doesn't have Korbonus of Leda. And now the rest of the Vlad comes out. Huh? Was already born. So even the Gabbaydan Halacha, it's still considered to be a complete Leda. Tosfos asks, what's the Chiddush? In other words, why did you're saying Lasi Emai? I mean, Lasi Emai means that there's a case which is different anymore. So what's the bigger Kiddush here? If it's a Leda, it's a Leda. If it's not a Leda, it's not a Leda. Exactly. I'm saying, what makes you think this case any different? Tosfos is a brilliant Shaila. He says, of course it's a Leda. What's the Shaila? That's no Kiddush. The Kiddush is that it's the only Leda. In other words, you might have thought that in all the other halachas, it's not no gear. Once there's a Leda, there's a Leda. What do I care what happens afterwards? But this is the first case and only case where even if it's a Leda, it now makes a difference to determine whether, and what about when the rest of the face comes out? Maybe that's also Leda. But who's to say that Leda consists of necessarily one element of Leda? Maybe it's Yeshna the Leda Mitzchila Batzof, so to speak. And even though this is considered to be Yolud, it is Yolud, but there's still an act of Leda going on. Therefore, she would be a Yoledes in terms of Tum and Karbonus for the next part of the Leda. So that's the thing. Even the Gabbai, even the Gabbai de Tavoka, this is the only Leda.
And the child is right?
Yeah, this is the child was already born as a girl. So that's what it's coming to tell me. Ask the Gemara of Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan is trying a Yatir, that is considered to be Yatir even without the face. It says the Farish, Yatir is Hakarat Panim. The Ezoi Hakarat Panim, Partsuf Panim Im Hakov. The Farish. That the father has to be able to recognize the child through seeing the face at least with the nose. No. Says Rabbi Yochanan, don't say imakotam, read that as adakotam. What about this? When it comes to Elus Isha, and somebody wants to identify the husband who has died, and he says, I saw your husband dead, and we ask him, how much of the face did you see? He has to be able to identify him through seeing the uppermost part of his face together with his nose. He doesn't see the chotam, it's not parts upon him, is not considered to be, and here it is the Farish, padachas below parts upon him, or parts upon him below padachas. Maybe not your shame, he my chotam. Here it says the Farish, and there's no way to answer. I mean, but it says you can't, one without the other is not enough. To have a padachas without parts upon him, I mean, obviously that defines him, my chotam.
From the
children,
the nose is no good.
That's right, it's no good. You have to be able to see either the top or the bottom as one thing. You can't have just that half. We'll worry about it in Yevamos. This way, the Gemara brings the Raya and Rabbi, they're kind of my crow. Hakarat pneihem antabam. So you see, what is hakarat? Hakarat requires hakarat apanim. Says the Gemara, okay, with the open sign is I'm Leda, of course, when it comes to Eidus Isha. Eidus Isha, very chomor, I have to have 100% identification over there. What does that have to do with a father recognizing a child? I mean, how many fathers really recognize their child? After full recognition, you'll bring it back the next day and mix up the babies, he's going to know. That doesn't look like the one I saw yesterday. You may have some vague sense, it doesn't look like the one I saw yesterday. And the nurse says, no, it is. Okay, it is. How many times have you been convinced they switched your kids to the hospital? I mean, this looks like nothing that like the child that was delivered yesterday. No, sure. Yeah, that's the only explanation. Sorry. So, Mamela, when it comes to Eidus Isha, you need a serious hakor because you're saying it's this particular person. To be makir, a child, you're not, what are you saying? I makir him enough to know this particular child? I makir him the way Moshe Rabbeinu asked. you know, I want to see. I want to be marked in this existence. So it says the Gemara, but wait a second. That doesn't make any sense, because we know that Eidus Isha is the one thing that we're made to want. So they don't remark from Eidus Isha. That's crazy. Umiach Miro, what do you mean the Rabbana remark from Eidus Isha? But none, who the Kuliyot may see him up the Eid after Rabbana, the Eid, maybe Eid, maybe Eved, maybe Shivcha. I mean, we're made to tremendously on Eidus Isha. In order to be Matir Nisha, the United States, and Shin Din Aguna, and you're telling me we're going to be Machner? Yes, yes, says Rabbi Yochanan. But the Tchilat Alon, Tchilat Rabbanu, what are you talking? I mean, it's tremendous Nafkamina. I may kill Legabe who I believe, but not about what I believe. If somebody comes along and says, well, I positively identify this person from having noticed his eye. Thank you very much. We believe you. Except what you're saying doesn't make a difference, because you're not identifying this person. So there's two completely different issues over here. We need to know what you're identifying. That you need to know. Now we'll be makil because of the chumrah of the issues of all the Yomai Zimra explain. So it's a totally different issue. Vibayis Ema. Or you can tie that the din of hakarat pneim on tabam is one halacha. And the din of yakir is another halacha. Yakir lechud. The word that's up before benasnua yakir. Over there, it doesn't say what the getter is of the what to be marked here. Where it says the Pharaoh is Hakarat Panayim, there it's saying Hakarat Panayim. So, Adarava, the very fact that if I want to talk about a Yakir that includes the faith, I have to say so. Hakarat Panayim. So then, there I need the faith. And Yakir Lakhud and Hakarat Panim Lakhud. By the way, it's a very interesting discussion. What is the chat in Hakarat Panayim on Taba? The Nabi is saying, the way they look is enough of a proof for me. This gets back to the issues you were raising earlier. Rashi learns the pshat is on people who sleep with their friend's wife. So hakarat pneihem, you can hide the gafka, make the child look like the father. So that's enough of a proof to me. In other words, everybody should be able to see who the father was. So it's a... It's interesting that in our circle you were all asking, and how about like a genetic match? And would that be enough to establish and so on? Yeah, that's what Reuben just brought up.
Somebody almost said that family adopted a few kids,
and other kids. Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen that happen so many times. It's like it's a whole. It's an interesting thing. They just did research on the phenomena of pets. No, exactly.
Yeah.
They actually did research on it, on pets looking like their owners. So the taina always was, even though they identified the pets as looking like the owners, that's a fact. But they used to say that that's because people are attracted to pets that look like them. So those are the pets that they buy. And you see this all the time, you know, those bulldoggy guys walking with them. I mean, mommy, it's hilarious. You know, it's like, wow. But what they did in this study, is they examined pets that had not been acquired through purchase, but that had been left to people that were your age, some other people, and so on and so forth, where there was no, where it's, as much as possible, it's random. And they found also tremendous correlation, which means that they're becoming, they become similar, right? Both. Yeah. In other words, when you're around, you end up, there's a lot of areas in which this seems to work. I mean, it's certainly, biologically, we know there's a tremendous, tremendous pressure there's a technical word for it. But like women end up having their periods at the same time if they live together. They end up synchronizing their periods. Or you have crickets. Will end up cricketing together. Right? So, no, synchronizing. But they will end up synchronizing. You always hear a group of like millions of crickets. They're all going up and going down at the same point. Like, what? Is there a conductor? I mean, how exactly does that work? Like frogs, you find the same thing. There's a tremendous pressure somehow to end up. No, it's not pure, it's straight out biology. So there's all types of mathematical work why it's begun. In other words, why does that work out biologically? Well, sorry, making noises to attract a mate is better not to be at the same time that everybody else is. A lot of work on these subjects. But apparently there is tremendous pressure to synchronize biologically in many different ways.
If you want to be a neural parent,
thank you. I don't know, we have to explain it.
So basically, you want to first of all, in spite of us, so